Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major, I'm your host. We have a great show for you. I always say we have a wonderful show. We're going to be talking about some stuff I'm sure you're going to find interesting. But now, before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and as always, we certainly love them too. Today, we're gonna focus on the National Veterans Memorial Museum. And I'm so excited to introduce really a good friend of mine, Lieutenant General retired Michael Ferder, President and CEO of the National Veterans Memorial and Museum in Columbus, Ohio, which I was at not too long ago and had just a great time. Sir, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on the show.
SMA, it's great to be with you, and so excited at the opportunity to speak to your audience and tell them the story of what's happening in this world of veterans.
Oh, man, I tell you what, when I was up at the museum last week, a couple of weeks ago when I was up there, I was so excited, and what a great organization, and what a beautiful museum. And I tell you what, the people that are listening today, if you've never been to Columbus, Ohio, you need to go, and you need to visit, and it certainly just brought back a lot of memories for me. And again, it was such an honor to be there for a little while anyway. I know the audience is eager to hear it all about the National Veterans Memorial and Museum, but before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you, as a retired lieutenant general, which you've already told me the story, and I enjoy the story, how you ended up leading that great organization?
Sure. The backstory is I grew up in an Army family. My father was a private in World War II and went to OCS, fought in the Pacific, was actually put in for Medal of Honor and received the Distinguished Service Cross. And so being OCS and infantry, my father, you know, we would answer the phone back in Heidelberg and Berlin back in the day, you know, Colonel Ferrer's quarters, Mikey speaking, may I help you, sir or ma'am, and rolling our socks with smiles and stuff like that. But I was so fortunate to live in a great family, to move around, moved 18 times in my first 18 years. And we ended up, when my father retired, our family moved to Carmel, California. And I was set to go to University of California, Santa Barbara, the number one party school in America. And my father thought it better that I would go to the Citadel in Charleston. And so on day one of the Citadel with a shaved head and no longer shoulder length hair, I said, okay, Dad one, Mike zero, but let's see where this is going to go. I was commissioned in 79, Lieutenant of Infantry, and served in all kinds of infantry. The first division, Fort Riley, mechanized to start, motorized at Fort Lewis, and then a lot of time in special ops with the 75th Range Regiment, a lot of time underneath the canopy with the 82nd Airborne Division and Arctic Paratrooper up in Alaska. I commanded Fort Benning and was given the task and the mission by General Dempsey to create the Maneuver Center of Excellence. Bringing the cavalry and the armor to Columbus, Georgia was like, with the infantry, it's like the Shia and the Sunni and the Kurds, but we got it done, Sergeant Major. And it was all the gray beards we were talking about before we came on air were such gentlemen and helping. You know, it was a brack decision that it was going to happen, but they helped break through the cultures and they were, you know, the big brothers to help me along in that. So served in Iraq three times and in Mogadishu, Somalia, with the 3rd Range Battalion after the big fight. I arrived on about the 4th in the evening. So I grew up in an Army family. I raised a great Army family. Margie and I have four awesome kids. Three have been in the Army as officers, and Megan is a PhD at the Library of Congress. And then finally, my last job was running all the Army bases around the world. And so, you know, the three part is, you know, raise an Army family, raised an Army family, and then took care of all the Army families. And that's where we met during Operation, what was it? Rising Star.
Oh, yeah, Operation Rising Star. That's right. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I always wish I could sing during that period of time, but they never would let me sing.
That's right. And so then, as well as having responsibility for all the installations and the people, we had Soldier for Life for the transition program. So we prepared transitioning soldiers to become veterans. And then we had our dear family of the fallen that we took care of, our Gold Star families. And so when it, and then I retired and started the Ferreter Group, and the word got out that if you needed help, then you could get to Miss Margie or to General Ferreter as a veteran, that we would help. And we did. We started with transitioning veterans, and then we realized there were transitioned veterans. Yeah. So we started helping veterpreneurs. And then I got a call from a lady at one of those headhunters places. And she said, would you be interested in being the founding CEO and president of the National Veterans Memorial Museum? And I was in Columbus and asked her where it was. And she said, it's in Columbus, Ohio. And I said, oh, I'm in Columbus, Georgia, by Fort Benning. So so I traveled and saw it. And it's been a great time. We're in our third and a half year. Super online presence, virtual tours and virtual. You could go through hundreds of podcasts similar to this and hear inspiring stories of service. And much more that we'll talk about here as we go forward.
Well, so, you know, I was up there not too long ago, 29th of March, in fact, 28th, 29th of March. It's really a very unique place. And I think, again, everybody ought to go visit and see it, because it's, again, brought a lot of memories. It's really certainly well set up as I looked around all the things you're doing. And again, we're gonna talk about all those things that we're doing, that you guys are doing as a staff there. The Veterans Memorial Museum has really its unique origin and history. Can you tell us about that, including the National Veterans Museum mission, the mission of the museum?
Yeah, so simply stated, our mission is to tell the story, you know, to honor, connect, inspire, and educate, honor the service and sacrifice of our veterans and their families, connect America to veterans and veterans to America, inspire everyone to service bigger than self, and to educate. And we do that in K through 12. We do that with leader certification courses for veterans at Ohio State University. And so with the mission to tell the stories, then how did that happen? Well, Senator John Glenn, Marine fighter pilot and astronaut, lived at the top of condominiums, looking down on the old Veterans Hall. It's called Old Vets. And it was just, it's a nice, big, granite-looking thing. And he would call, you know, the Titans of Industry and other public servants and say, that is just not right. That is not something we should be proud to say we're honoring veterans. And so they said, well, we'll fix it up, Senator. And then they found out it would cost $32 million to fix it up. So they said, we'll knock it down. And so they raised the funds to build this glorious museum. They they hired Ralph Applebaum, who did the museum, the African-American Museum, and the Holocaust Museum, the best in the world at storytelling. And then they hired Brad Clayfield, who built this circular building with arches, and as if it's bursting out of the Scioto Peninsula. And they wanted, whenever someone came, as you saw, that they would say, this is a real tribute to our veterans, and this was built on purpose. This was not an afterthought. And so within it, we have 14 thematic alcoves. The themes are the journey that you and I took, and every military member took, and every veteran took, of A Nation Called is the first theme. And then Why I Served. And then Leaving Home and Taking the Oath of Office. And then Basic Training. And then Operations and Deployments. And uniquely, we have one niche exhibit, and that's for the Tuskegee Airmen. And the day you were with us was Vietnam Veterans Day, but it was also the Tuskegee Airmen Day. And so we rolled from your great discussion with the crowd. 30 minutes later, tables were right where we were sitting and where you were standing, and a meal delivered it to honor the Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah, just combat operations, letters to home, coming home, and transitioning. Those are the themes. And there's also a history timeline from 1775 up to today with the significant events. So one side of the hall are the thematic alcoves, and the inner rail is our timeline.
Yeah. So what kind of, so I guess you just talked about what a visitor can expect and experience with all the exhibits and all the stuff that you're currently, that you're hosting.
I would add what you can expect is to be totally surprised. And by the third or fourth alcove, listening to veterans say why they served, looking at basic training, listening to the oath of office, everyone says, I've never seen anything like this. And probably you'll tear up if you come there. And it's not tears of pity. It's pride, welling within your chest, or remembrances of buddies lost, shipmates lost, ranger buddies, wingmen, crew members, and that. And then granddads go through with grandkids, and they tell the grandkids things that the mom, their daughter, never heard. Because we old guys don't tell our kids the war stories, but we sure do the grandkids.
Yeah, we don't share enough information with the kind of stuff that goes on. One of the things I was really interested about when I go there is the testimonials that you had. I think you touched on a minute ago. Could you talk a little bit more about the testimonials, how you got them? And
sure. They started with 250 veterans, and they actually started with this being the Franklin County Museum. And then the governor, then Governor Kasich, said, well, why don't we make the Ohio State Memorial Museum? So they went to the Smithsonian and said, hey, we want to be an affiliate to the National Veterans Memorial Museum. And the Smithsonian said, there isn't one. So they said, oh, okay, then we'll be it. And that's the way it went down. And so then they took this 250 veterans and down selected to about 25. And so you'll hear Brian Vargas say, my dad was a Marine. I couldn't be a man in our house unless I was a Marine. So all I wanted to do is get out of high school and get to basic and be a Marine. And he served and was wounded in Alambar province. Bonnie Carroll of Taps. She tells her story. She's working in the White House and she felt the call to duty. So she came to join the Air Force like her mother had served in the Army Air Corps. So each one tells their story. I tell their story. John Flynn tells a story of his African-American private for 14 months, private PFC, and then a corporal in Vietnam. And he tells his story of on a patrol, leading with the dog team, and the wind was to their back, so the dog couldn't smell two Vietnamese, North Vietnamese soldiers. And he spun around and he got the draw on him. So each one tells a compelling story of their service and their memories.
Yeah. Every time I go to a museum and I look at a museum, especially your museum, it really brings back, some memories that probably aren't as good as others, but it brings back a lot of things that I certainly hadn't talked or thought about for a long time. I've seen some things there that I hadn't seen for a long time too, which is really neat. But we can't forget about our history. We can't forget about the things that went on in our country, whether or not it was Vietnam, whether or not it was, Somalia, whatever it is. But I think that's what makes our country better, if we continue to talk about our history and educate people about things that happened so we don't do them again. There's no question that the military today is a lot better than the military was back in, during Vietnam. But it's things like that museum, or your museum, that really educates a lot of people. We're talking with Lieutenant General retired Michael Ferreter, President and CEO of the National Veterans Memorial and Museum. And if you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, Sergeant Major of the Army, don't forget, enjoying this discussion, please please click on that subscribe button below, because together we're gonna make a team of people that talk about talk about the veterans' issues, talk about the things or the sacrifices our veterans make each and every day. I was reading something the other day. In fact, I was reading when I was up visiting you guys. There's 17 million veterans out there, and we need to help each other. We need to make sure that we stay connected and we support things like our museum, and make sure our kids and our daughters and our families remember the kind of things that that we did and have done, and really, quite frankly, continue to do. But I'm going to give you something. For the next 20 subscribers, I have something special for you. I'm going to give you a Your Next Mission shirt. It's Your Next Mission. It's a great-looking shirt. In fact, I got two or three of them myself. But do me one favor. Please comment. Send me a comment where you live so I know where to send the shirt. We get all these comments. We never hear anything. So to continue this discussion, we talk about the National Veterans Memorial and the museum being more than a museum. Would you share with us all the programs that you offered by the museum, all the events and programs? I've seen a couple of them up there, but what other things are you doing? I want to comment, too. I know that Jimmy Spencer said you're a self-defense kind of guy, so he said don't get close to you, but tell us about all the programs that you offer your community.
All right, Sergeant Major. That's great. So we, first of all, we knew that we had to be more than a museum. And even in the interview, I told them, we got to go coast to coast. If we're a national veterans, we've got to reach Tampa and Tacoma and San Diego. So we're going to have virtual programs. And when COVID hit, it was a natural shift and pivot for us because we didn't close. And we reached 40 million during that time. So the first programming that I'll talk about are just these inspiring stories and podcasts. One series is Inspiring Stories of Service. Another, which we interviewed General Powell, or Veteran Voices. We interviewed the Mogadishu Rangers and pilots, or Rally Point. So those three programs, if you go to our website, which is nationalvmm.org, you can pull those down, or go to our Facebook page as well, and you hours and hours of really incredible people. So then we launched next week a Veterpreneur store. So, like as I said at the beginning of this podcast, there are veterans who are small business owners, and they've been up on an OP or in a tank turret and saying, if we get out of this crap alive, let's start that company. And they did, and they do. And so we launched the e-commerce. We have the goods in the museum already. And so if you're a veteran who has merchandise and you want to be in our store, then contact me as well. If you want to be in Big Lots, well, now we transition over to Veterpreneurs with the CEO of Big Lots, and we're working towards AFEs as well. So now, where these guys were, young sergeants or young officers, and they couldn't get into the big stores, we'll help get them there. Then we've launched a resiliency and wellness program. And if you go to the museum, that Sergeant Major of the Army Telly was talking about, is we have a jiu-jitsu program. And tomorrow morning at 6, we'll train, and Saturday morning at 9. And we'll grow that out because we know that veterans are kind of pack animals, and they like to be with groups. But when they're disconnected, it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
And if they get disconnected and have problems in their life, then they tend to go towards alcohol, and then it gets really dangerous. So what we want to do is prevent suicide, give them fun activities to do. We'll bring yoga on next, and our great and dear friend Jennifer Laredo Ballou will be one of our yogas. She's a gold star. She left their service as a master sergeant. She was in combat as a first sergeant when her dear husband Eddie was killed. So not only do we provide instruction, but we get people who are doing it, who understand veterans, who are veterans, to be the instructors or teachers.
Yeah.
I just came from an outing with the Veteran Golfers Association. They're now partnering with us. So some 14,000 golfers who are veterans are playing nationwide. And at the end of the year, in September, the end of the playing season, they do a national championship. It's amazing. So those things we're doing. We've developed our first exhibit that we built It came out of the book, The 20-Year War. You can go to our e-commerce site and purchase The 20-Year War. Sergeant Major Tilley is in that book as an inspiring story, along with 70 other veterans who are in that book. And next, we are launching a concierge service. So we will have end-to-end as get contact to the veterans, find transitioning soldiers, find hundreds of companies, and connect the companies that want to hire veterans with the veterans that want to get hired by location or by skill set. Those are just a few of the things that we're doing. And finally, everyone can do the 5K run for Memorial Weekend. And it's a virtual, so you can, I tell my old paratroopers in Alaska, get in your car, take two beers, drive a mile and a half out, put them down, drive back to your house, walk to the beer, and have one on the way back. You know, so the virtual, in sincerity, sign up with the team or sign up on my team, and then you'll get a great t-shirt. On the back, it says, "I will always remember." And then you can pin in John Grassball or Eddie Laredo or anyone else that you know that we've lost from the beginning of your time there in Vietnam, Sergeant Major, all the way until current ops. So yeah. It's more than a museum. We're amped up and we're having a great time.
It's more like a family. It's about educating our country about the sacrifice. She's talking about taking a beer out there, put it down and walk back, and then or drive back and then walk back and get the beer. When I was in Korea, used to take Blackhawks. I'd put the whole company on Blackhawks and stag, well, not all of them, but, three or four flights in and out. And we went 10 or 15 miles out, and I'd get them to start running back, and everybody I'd pass, they had to do push-ups, that was a lot. I enjoyed doing stuff like that. Now you're trying to grow members. So what's a good, you said a website. Could you tell me a website again? You need members to join, correct?
We do it. And we are the National Veterans Memorial and Museum. We said it plenty of times, but we don't get any national funds, any federal funds, any state funds, any county or city funds. It's all fundraising, philanthropy, and membership and events. So National VMM. org is our website, and from there you'll see a tab every once in a while within the website that says donate. You'll see membership, hit the membership tab and join up. We also if you want to be a sponsor, big or small, of Memorial Day, it's one of our Super Bowls, as is Veterans Day, of course, then help us out there. If you want to be a board member, contact me, or if you have contact with CEO or C-suite individuals in your company, then get them hooked up with us, and we will let them join the team, and we'll take care of business.
What if you want to just tell your story? If you have a story to tell, I mean, how do you get stories? I mean, I know you told me how you got the other 250, but if I have a story and I want to tell you, is there a, do I still go to your website and say, I want to tell my story, or I have some artifacts I want to give you? I can do that also.
Yeah. We have a tell your story app. I think we develop, I'm stumbling because I don't know if it's on the website. I'll have to check. But we work with JPMorgan Chase. They developed this storytelling app. But I would say contact us at the info and tell us if you have your dad's or your granddad's stuff. We're going to digitize it, and we're going to take pictures, and then it'll be in the memorial hall, but online. And so that's the way I'm excited. I'm glad you asked the question. I'm excited about it because all the time someone comes in and says, "This is my granddad. He's a World War II vet, and this is his stuff. We want to give it to you." Well, we would be like Raiders of the Lost Ark, warehouse with so much stuff. Or actually, underneath the National Infantry Museum, they've got about 200 yards of square of stuff they can't put in the halls. So we're going to digitize it, allow anyone to tell their story, then video that, and then that'll be online.
You know, it's the reason I said that, because I was thinking about myself. You know, I have a Connex container back at home, and I got all this stuff, and I got my uniforms and stuff like that. So at one point, if you ever want some old Sergeant Major stuff, tell me what you want. Or maybe you have somebody come down and just look at it and decide, you know, I'd like to have this or that, and maybe we'll stick something in your museum and stuff and help you out. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at navyfederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley, and we're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant General retired Michael Farrador, President and CEO of the National Veterans Memorial and Museum in Columbus, Ohio. That's almost a mouthful right there. I want all of our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition, just like I want you to tell the museum about your transition out of the military to tell them about your story. But for me, tell us about what topics you'd like us to cover on the show. You know, I tell people all the time, it's not my show, it's our show. You can call me or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Or you can send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Sir, we're heading into the final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And I just have just a couple more questions. And I'm gonna make sure, again, for the listeners that are out there, it's important for us to never forget the kind of sacrifices our military makes for our country. And when I went to that museum in Columbus, Ohio, my eyes got real big because I've seen a group of people, you know, I love the general, but I've seen a group of people that worked at the museum that love taking care of veterans and love telling that story. So let's make sure we do all we can to help them out as much as we can. To follow up with you where we left off, I was, I was at the National Museum there on the 29th of March. And it was Veterans Day, and we welcome a lot of people home. And I was incredibly impacted by that day. In fact, you could see by the speech that really, on that day, I think I talked about the scars that we all have when we come back. That event meant a lot to me, in particular, who attended. And I'm sure all those who was there that day, or would really listen online, we talk about that day and any similar events that you have coming up. So can you share with the audience anything else you have? Maybe even talk a little bit about that day, the impact of maybe that. I think what was really important is, in fact, I remember you commented to me. In fact, you were sitting to my left and I was talking. I wasn't looking at you, but I'm always sort of watching everything around me. And you came behind me and did something and then went back and said, can you tell me what that was?
Yeah, it was. I think you thought at first that I was pulling you off the stage, like time's up.
I thought you was running. I was worried about that.
Yeah, but one of the Vietnam vets was crying, and so Darcy Connor and Lauren from the event staff had put Kleenex boxes around it. A couple of the chairs are for each row, but this guy was in the second row, I think, of on the other side of the aisle. And I just walked over and gave him some tissue so he could, wipe his eyes and blow his nose and, you know, feel good about it. And wasn't hard to do.
Yeah. I think on that day, if we didn't do anything, I always tell people if I could help one person, sometimes it's a fact that that you open up and you talk about, you know, talk about the things that happened. You know, I think that's therapy for a lot of people. Certainly therapy for me. Every time I think I told you on that day, that was only the third time that I really had ever talked about Vietnam. The first time was years ago when I came back from Vietnam that I talked about. I couldn't get through that either. And the second time was the night before we had a town hall meeting and we talked about some of the things. Now, the first question you asked me was about the guy went into the military on the buddy plan, and a good friend of mine, Prentice Boykin, we called him Barney, had gotten his stomach blown out, and he bled to death. And when you think about museums and you think about the kind of things that that we certainly want to forget sometimes, it's those are the people that come up. You know, we have Memorial Day, we have Veterans Day, we have all those years of service. But for me personally, it's thinking about the guys that are the gals now, the guys and gals that do so much. But for me, it's the guys that I lost years ago, and that sometimes, you know, but I think as I get older, I think about it more and more, you know, about those sacrifices. So, sir, do you have any kind of similar events? Anything? I mean, you talked about a few of them. Anything else you want to highlight?
Certainly. The Memorial Day is actually a week, and grown to that. So we'll start the memorial for Lima Company Marines, who were the Marine Reserve unit that deployed to Al Anbar and lost 25 men. And so that'll be them there. Then we have the poppies from a cube of the red poppies from USAA. And so they're displayed, they're sending to us. Then we've actually stolen Rolling Thunder from Washington, D.C. And I say that half joking. Rolling Thunder no longer goes through Washington, D.C. It's dispersed regionally. And we'll have about more than 10,000 motorcycles come to Columbus, Ohio, come to the museum for our POW MIAs. The Rolling Thunder originally, you would know, but most the audience doesn't, it was a protest. It was a motorcycle protest because we still had so many missing in action over there. So we'll have them and honor the POWs and MIA. Then Saturday we'll have a CrossFit workout for the Murph, Navy SEAL Murphy. There's a CrossFit smoker specifically named after him. And then we'll have a jiu-jitsu seminar on Saturday as well. And then Saturday night, we'll have a candlelight vigil, which is awesome. All the Gold Star families who can come, we'll walk with a candle and a red carnation. And then we'll go into our memorial grove and there'll be bagpipe music and then great words said. And then the name of each of the fallen will be called out. Everyone cries for that one, Sergeant Major. Mm-hmm. And then on Monday is Memorial Day itself. And so on our rooftop that holds, you know, at least 500 people, it's a stadium rooftop. Then we'll have an amazing Cheryl Mason from the VA. Well, she's her father committed suicide after service in the Army. She's one of our guest speakers. We'll have a Gold Star guest speaker as well. And then and at the conclusion, you know, Sergeant Major Earl Rice, and you and I talked about Sergeant Major Rice. Well, uh-huh. At the conclusion of the first one, we were out running the day before, the morning before, and I said, Sergeant Major, what do you think if at the end you stand up and say, I will always remember, and just say one of those that you've lost? And he said, great idea, boss, let's do it. So at the conclusion of this stunning ceremony, and jets fly over right on at the National Anthem and everything else is cool, he stood up and said, I'll always remember then Corporal so-and-so. And then Senator Portman stood up and said, I'll always remember. And then I stood up and said, Jonathan Grassball. And then about 25 minutes later, people were, you know, one by one throughout the crowd, you know, and you'd hear kids say, go ahead, granddad, say it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So it's a don't miss it. Coming up for Memorial, you know, come in on Thursday to Columbus, Ohio, and then depart. And then the next week is the Memorial Tournament, and we'll take Gold Star Golf Tournament. We'll take a Gold Star family to lunch with Jack Nicklaus and Barbara Nicklaus.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how cool they are. And then later in the week, we have Veteran Appreciation Day on Wednesday, and we'll all be out there, as will active duty reserve and guard and veterans, all walking the golf course for free. And next year, we'll have the Veteran Golfers Association playing a tee it up for the troops on Tuesday.
Really good thing.
If there was a time to come, and I would tell you, if you've not been to Columbus, Ohio, it's a great city. It's got the vibe of Nashville, you know, Boston. It's got Ohio State University. We often say a professional football team. It's got professional hockey, professional AAA baseball, and the crew soccer. Great town, great nightlife, and a great place to live and raise a family too.
Yeah. Well, sir, I wasn't going to ask you a question, but as you talked about Memorial Day, what's Memorial Day mean to you personally?
Oh, man. Well, the first part of what it means to me is to teach and educate people and about the sacrifice that young Americans will make for this country and have made for this country. But, you know, when I was installation manager in the command, commanding general, we had the survivor outreach as a part of our mission. And I was advisor to General Odierno for an advisory board. And one of the moms came and said to Margie, my wife, I had a horrible thing happen. I was in a parking lot of Walmart or wherever. And a woman came up and said, you must be a good mom because you've got a bumper sticker that says Gold Star Mom. And she said, I was horrified. I had to tell this woman, no, that's not a kindergarten good deed, Gold Star. That means my son Jimmy was killed in Afghanistan. So we campaigned, and I went to Fox Sports, and I met with Eric Shanks, and I said, we need to do some public service announcements. And we did. And I said, I want you to put him in the Super Bowl. And he did, and didn't charge the Army anything. So, you know, to me, it's personal, you know. Really personal. My aide de camp that went back to Iraq after he and I served in Iraq, and he was killed. His name is Jonathan Graspel, and his beautiful wife, Jenna, and beautiful baby, come through here once in a while. And she went to Ohio State University law school. Jenna did. Mm-hmm. And now she's a lawyer in the U.S. Army. So it's personal for who you know about. But it's personal because this is our tribe, Sergeant Major. You know, these are our guys. And if you're from California, that means guys and girls, so I can say that. But, you know, we have run across bullet swept streets. You know, we don't like people to shoot at us. And we do defend the country, and we do defend it with the lives of usually the younger, braver, and more willing who serve.
Yeah. You know, the average age of the people that die in war is 18 to 24, I think it is. Okay. And it just breaks my heart. And for me, Memorial Day, I just, when I think about Memorial Day, I think about all the friends that are lost. Okay. And I'm screwed up anyway, but there's names I can't remember. There's faces I certainly remember, and there's things that I've seen that I don't want to remember. And it's really a shame, but it's a shame that we don't educate our country more. That's why this museum, the Veterans Museum, is so important. It's so important for people to understand those kind of sacrifices that people that you'll never know, people that you'll never see, that make for your freedoms. So it's about understanding those sacrifices. It's about remembering those sacrifices, and then also it's about remembering the families that have lost a loved one. You know, it's tough. How can people visit the museum and engage with you? I mean, you said about your website. Is that the best way to to get a hold of you, I guess.
That'd be best given this format right here, nationalvmm.org. Mferger at nationalvmm.org, I think also is my email.
Yeah.
But just contact us. But think about this. If there's 17 million veterans, how many reunions a year are held, right? And so Charlie Airborne does one at the company level. So bring your reunion to the museum.
Oh, wow.
The hall behind me will hold 250 seated, easy. And if the weather's mighty fine, the time of year you do it, then the rooftop and all of that. So that's a good way to do it as well. So, or come as a group of, 12 battle buddies or shipmates, just take the day trip. We're within something like 8 hours of 70% of the veterans in America. And it's a 1 hour plane ride to DC, a 1 hour plane ride to Atlanta, and a 1 hour plane ride to New York. So very accessible.
Yeah. I know that when I was looking up there's ticket sales that come into the museum, but if you're a veteran, it's absolutely free. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we get help also on active duty. Then we'll get to a place where the veterans and their families will be totally free. It's that two-edged sword of we got to generate, revenue in order to keep building these great programs. And once we build a great program, there's so many great companies that want to help. And they do. And so by way of that sponsorship and donors, then that keeps our doors open big time. We're big time strong.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really getting a lot of people involved. I know when I went to, when I had lunch up there with the Tuskegee Airmen, there was a couple of senators in there having lunch with them that were veterans too, that were participating. Sir, any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience? I mean, we covered a lot of stuff. I hope we didn't miss anything. Anything else you want to share with the audience?
I'd like to invite the audience to really contact us, first of all, and then contact us with regard to the employment that, opportunities. If you have jobs and you want veterans, the deal is it's talent management. Veterans are proven. And when they join your team, they make it better that day. And so let us help you make your team better, your company better, by helping you connect with and hire great vets. And then finally, as you and I have discussed a couple times, SMA, if you're out there, call somebody, text somebody. Don't let Friday come and go without you reaching out to an old buddy and making sure they're okay. You can change someone's life and you can save someone's life by a simple act of kindness. So please do that. And then finally, Sergeant Major, thank you so much for letting me be with you and during this time period and helping to tell our story. And I look forward to doing great things with you in the future and impacting even more lives together.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. And again, thank you for what you guys are doing. I mean, you got a great mission up there, and you're doing a lot of great stuff. And we'll always be here to help you, no question. Again, to the audience, the people that are listening, that it's about us. It's about loyalty. It's about a country. It's about God. But it's also really important for us not to forget the sacrifices our veterans make for this country, and. And sometimes I worry about that because I think people do forget. They forget too quickly. And a very small percentage of people in this country even serve in the military. I think it's probably a percent or less than a percent that serve. And it's it's getting to be less and less every year. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast. And thank you for listening today. This is an important subject for all of us to listen to. And again, I can't say it enough. It's something that... maybe we don't talk about every day, maybe we don't think about every day, but we should. We should be thinking about the kind of sacrifices that these young men and women make for our country. I talk about it all the time, there's a lot of scars out there. There's scars you can see and there's scars you can't see in our country that we certainly need to continue to help. Again, thanks for listening. And please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully it's a good review. And don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. I'll actually contact you back and talk to you about whatever the subject is. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from military or from the military. You know, it's about the team. It's about working together and staying together and helping each other out each and every day. We all speak the same language. Let's help each other. Also, you can visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. You know, we want to assist you any way we can. I want to say that again. We want to assist you in any way we can. I just don't say that. I mean that. And please follow me on all my social media channels, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I never thought in my lifetime I'd ever say that, but it's true. That's the way we need to communicate. And if you enjoyed this discussion with Lieutenant General Retired Farrador, please like us and click on that subscribe button below. Nobody in this country gets anything done by themselves. It's all about the team, and it's all about the family. And thanks again, Lieutenant General Farrador, for being with us today. It was great, you know, having you on the show, having you on the podcast, and just God bless you for what you do and what your staff does and the people you work with each and every day. And I want to leave you with three things to remember today. We're dedicating season two of Your Next Mission to all those veteran members who struggle with mental illness, which so often has led someone to taking their own life. And I ask everybody all the time, just like the general said a minute ago, reach out to a veteran at least once a week or maybe twice a month or do something, because there's a lot of people out there struggling. I've told this story a lot to people here lately. I had a couple of good friends that about 6 or 7 months ago that both of them committed suicide. And today, to this day now, I still think about, did I do all I could have done? Did I reach out? Did I talk to them? There's something that I could have did to change their life. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a 4-star general or you're a private. We're all veterans. We're all part of a family, and we all have a mission, and that's really to take care of each other. And you can see my hat on my head. You know, I'm proud of being an Army guy. Hoo-ah! And I'll always be an Army guy. I'll be an Army guy till the day I die. But be proud of your colors. You know, I tell people I wear my hat all the time, but I'm going to ask you one favor. Every Friday, I want you to wear your colors. Whether or not you got your suit on or whatever you're doing, show your colors. Show who you are. Let people know that you were willing to die for this country. That's a noble cause. You know, not a lot of people do that. I love saying this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I raised my right hand and said, I will defend this country, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. You know what that means? That means I'm ready to die for you. Never forget that. Never forget the kind of sacrifices our veterans make for this country. And I want to encourage all you guys, make sure you go to the museum. You know, if you could donate something, that's great. But go and learn, educate, you know. I want to encourage everyone that's listening to reach out to your neighbor. Offer a smile or a helping hand. Together, let's try to bridge that divide that's affected so many of us lately. You know, we live in a great country. We have a lot of great people. And sometimes we have a tendency to focus on things that, you know, that are negative. In my lifetime, and hopefully in yours, I think about positive things. I think about making my life better and the people around me better each and every day. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks to Cloudcast Media and, of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all that you do for our military. So, as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.